Good. Well, will you turn with me then to the Book of the Acts of the Apostles? And chapter 16. It isn't often these days that I'm asked to come and address such an sort of an elect company. Not exclusively ladies' meetings, and we're counting out these two men here. And while I was thinking about it all before the Lord, he wanted me, first of all, to encourage you, I'm sure, from this same 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We'll read, I think, verse 13, where it says that on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. This is the great Apostle Paul and the men that were with him. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Those three verses really tell us quite a lot. That Paul, when he went to the great city, and great in those days by the standards of cities then, he went first of all to a prayer meeting that was being run by women. I think that's great. That's where he went first. And it's a marvelous thing, and I want to bring this word of encouragement to your hearts. I don't know that, strictly speaking, this is a prayer meeting, that it's not just a meeting convened for prayer. It's convened for something more than fellowship, and more than prayer. It's convened probably for fellowship and real worship and a coming unto a knowledge of the Lord and of His great truth. Many hearts are seeking God in these days, underneath much that goes on that appears to be absolutely opposite to that fact, yet there are hearts that really are seeking truth and seeking reality. They haven't been able to find it, and I suppose we don't have to live for very long in this world before we find out that nothing that this world or the flesh has to offer us can really satisfy. I love to tell the story, and it's so true, of a lady that spoke to me once, all years ago now, when I was a Baptist pastor, way down here, a little lower in Kent, below Maidstone actually, if you call it below. And I had a pastor there in a Baptist church, it was a long while ago now, and I was out walking one day, and I met her. Her boys came to the Sunday school, and on sort of Sunday school anniversary days, she used to come, and her husband occasionally would come as well. They were a lovely family, and she was out walking with her little expensive dog, and she informed me that she would like to have a talk with me. So We arranged a date and I went along to her house. And she said to me, Mr. North, I want to find out what's wrong with me. She was a perfectly normal, healthy woman. So I said, what do you mean? Tell me what you really want to say and what's on your mind. Well, she said, look, I've got a lovely house here. And in those days, when televisions weren't so sort of popular and available to everybody, they had a big television in the set. It set in a corner. And it was an expensive home. And she said, I've got a good husband, one of the best, she said. Two fine boys, she said. I've got this dog, she said. We're comfortable if we want to go out for a day, or we want to go to a show, or we, you know, went all through the whole list of, she had everything. She had a home, she had human life, she had a husband, she knew the joys of motherhood. Everything right. She'd done everything that a woman could do, pretty well, I suppose, except die. You see? She'd had it all. And she said, but there's still something missing. What is it? What's missing? So I said to her, my dear, you've planned God out of your life. You can't fill it up with marriage or children, or a home, or anything that this world has to offer you, money, comforts. There's something in you that you can't fill up. And I quoted those famous words of St. Augustine, who said that there's a God-shaped blank in every one of us. And you can't fill it up with babies and homes and husbands and the world and the flesh, and you and I know that you can't. And I told her that about Jesus and how he come to meet her need and fill up that place there that nothing else could satisfy. Well, there are lots of people like that. And these people that gathered long ago, you see, when this New Testament was written, when Dr. Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles, they were precisely the same. These were the people who graduated out of lots of other things. They were quite prepared to leave the city and city highlights and life behind. And they used to go out to a place by a river where it says prayer was wont to be made. See how that is phrased, won't you? They made prayer. They went to a prayer meeting, but they weren't really able to pray because they had to make their prayers. Whereas the difference between made prayers and real prayer is about the difference between east and west, and north and south, and heaven and earth. You know what made prayers are. You sort of have to think hard and sort of get it out, or perhaps write it on a bit of paper, or buy a book, or something like that. And these prayers are made prayers, manufactured prayers. They're beautiful, and there's a real intention behind them. These people were really wanting to know God. And by their lights, they worshipped God. What a great thing this is. And in company with this, you must read the next chapter sometime. Don't do it today because of shortage of time. The time flying already. And you will find that there, Paul, in another place, at Athens, another famous city. You know, it was the home of the philosophy upon which all real true philosophy has been founded ever since the days of Plato and Aristotle and all these great thinkers that were thinking from a natural level, trying to find God and how Paul spoke to them there about slightly different things. But here were some women in Athens. It's all men. They all went to the men's place where all the men met, you know, Mars Hill, Areopagus, so they all talked and shared their great deep philosophical ideas about God and everything else that was taking place in their world, you see. But praise God, it's the women first. Amen. People that go by what they feel to be right rather than what they can think out to be right. You see, and he went to these women that were reaching out to God and did, so far as they know, worship a God. But as he said in the 17th chapter, the God whom you ignorantly worship, I've come to tell you about. Well, it was wonderful. And here then is the word of encouragement I want to give to you. Do you know that God answers prayer? Do you know how God answers prayer? Well, I'll show you how God answers prayer. Read higher up in the chapter. In this same 16th chapter, and this is what you read. Verse 6, Paul has got his missionary companions with him. They're going out to tell people how they can know God through Jesus Christ. And it says, when they'd gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now listen to this, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. God said, no, don't go there. They all, why, God won't let us go there to preach the gospel. He said we'd go preach it to everybody. So they come on, it says now. So, when the Holy Ghost wouldn't let them preach there, they would come to Mysia, and then they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. No, you can't go there. I suppose, why can't we get on? Why can't we go here and preach the gospel, you see? And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and there a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Did you see what happened? These women that were really true, honest, seeking God in their heart, affected the missionary journeys of a man named Paul, the great apostle. They were going to go some other place, but God heard the prayer of these women. He said to Paul, no. Well, we'll try somewhere else. No. There were these hearts really seeking God, really praying. And God altered the whole missionary program of the early church because some women got together and prayed. How about that? How about that? So tremendous was not just the making up of prayers, but the earnestness of those women's hearts. So true and real were they that they, I say it again, altered the program of the Apostle Paul, and they changed the direction of the outreach of the early church because some women who were true and real as far as they knew, bless God, pray. And so the Lord sent them someone who could tell them the truth so that they could know the way and say, at last, now what a wonderful thing that is for all of us to realize, beloved, and how true And that's the word of encouragement I want to bring to you first of all. But beyond the word of encouragement, I want to show you something else. I wonder if when you were reading, or when I was reading, I hope you were reading with me, you wondered why Lydia, the woman there, the special one that's chosen out, who was a seller of purple, why she said to Paul, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord." I wonder, you might have thought, oh, I wonder why she said that. If you think I've been faithful to the Lord, come into my home. She didn't say, if you think my house is good enough, or if you think my bed isn't too hard, or if you're looking for a night's lodging. She didn't say, well, now I'm a Christian, or something like that. Please come to my home. Why did you say, if you judged me to be faithful to the Lord? Now listen, God's talking to you. I wonder if you are faithful to the Lord. You see, these women had got to prayer. They really had. They had to make their prayers. It wasn't easy for them. They didn't find praying in public easy, and all this business that you hear talking about, but they used to go to this prayer meeting. And you see, God had heard, he'd actually changed the direction of Paul's life and the outreach of the early church because he'd been faithful to her. God faithfully heard and faithfully answered the cry of her heart. I expect she was saying, oh God, I wish I could know you. You see, I wish I could. I have an ex-Roman Catholic friend. He had become an ex-Roman Catholic before I met him. He'd been a white father, actually, in the Cistercian order, a very, very close order of Roman Catholic men. And so close that they never spoke to one another. And they were of the Trappist variety, and they never thought anything was their own. If their sort of shoelace came undone, they had to think of it as our shoelace. It was never my shoelaces undone. This was the kind of order in which he lived, trying to find the reality of unity with God and truth. And he said that one day, this is his own testimony, he said he was an Irishman. He said he went into the chapel, and as he walked in, it was his turn for chapel duties to sort of go keep prayer going and keep the candles alight and this sort of thing. And he said, and mind you, he would say this because he was a Catholic. He said, oh God, I wish I could know you like St. Peter did. I wish I could. At that moment, God revealed himself to him. Of course, if it had been us, we'd have probably said, like St. Paul, but he said St. Peter, wouldn't he? We might have said St. John. I might have said St. John, because I love old John. And God did. See, there's a man, you would have thought, oh, he's a fine Christian. He wasn't. He didn't live God. He'd going and keeping the candles going, and saying the prayers, and making the prayers. And do you know there are thousands, millions like this in the world? They aren't Christians at all. They aren't really those that have responded to the gospel. They're good people. They're good, mean people. They try to shut themselves up to this or keep themselves up to that. And they've left the world in that sense. And I don't know what they haven't done. Something like this, you see. But anyway, this woman, she'd been there. And God had been faithful to her. And listen, are you faithful to God? So faithful God had been. You see, this woman was a woman that was really moving in reality. Let's look at it again. It says, this woman, Lydia, she worshipped God, she heard Paul. And listen, the Lord opened her heart. That's right. Have you got an open heart this afternoon? Have you got an open heart? Or are you prejudiced? Is it really shut up close and tight? Full of your own ideas? Full of how you think God ought to act, or what you think God ought to do? Do you know God had moved in a, as I say, he moved in a tremendous way to answer this woman's prayer. Tremendous way. And you know, God expects us to be faithful. And he's prepared today to open your heart. The Lord opened her heart. Because listen, you have all been born with a heart shut up against truth and reality. And God comes and he opens it. Ah. Because you see, with God, it mustn't be a religious business. I go to my church and I say my prayers and all this business. If you're real, God will meet you, but there has to come a time in your life when your heart's open. It's got to be heart. The heart of you's got to be reached. The real center of you. The real place where everything lives and from which everything springs. That's what's got to happen with everybody. God gets the heart of everything. You know, religion can be very superficial. It can be. The real proof in the end is this. Whether or not we are prepared to let God have our heart completely. The Lord was so faithful to this woman. He opened, he sent the Apostle Paul there, bypassed all the men, and say what you want. And then he opened her heart. And listen, she knew when Paul started to speak that at last she'd heard truth. Every one of us knows the truth when we hear it. We may not like it, and we may refuse to accept it. But we know it. And that will judge us in the last day. I know truth when I hear it. You know truth when you hear it. You can recognize the grace and love of God toward you. That's how we're constituted. And it's this secret, secret center of us that really cuts. God opened this woman's heart. Oh, and she drank in the message. She drank it in. Right deep down to the very roots of her being. This is, it's what I've been waiting to hear. What I was born for. Oh, thank God he ever sent this man to me to tell me the truth. That's right. That I should hear it. Not the soft soap of just mere religious people. Not nice little ethical talks or moral exhortations or something else. But absolute reality. Life, basic reality. And it's this in which God is dealing. You think again. That God had actually said to Paul, no. And he at that time was the great leader of the church. Peter had had his day. And you don't read about Peter anymore in the Acts of the Apostles after chapter 15. That's about the last mention of Peter. Now Paul is in 16. And he now is the great one of the missionary outreach of the church. And God spoke to the very chiefest of the apostles. And all to their... My, that's a tremendous thing. It's a mighty thing to be allowed to hear the truth for the first time in your life. It's a mighty thing when at last you're enabled to distinguish between light and dark and truth and error. It's a wonderful privilege that you're granted. Bless God. May it always be so in this home. May it always be so. Oh. Let's read this. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought her, saying, if you judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Listen. I like to ask each one of you, some of you I just sort of met once or twice, doesn't matter anyway, some I've never met before. Are you faithful to the Lord? Are you faithful to the Lord? The Lord has been faithful to you. Amen. He's been faithful to you. And he's expecting you to be faithful to him. This woman was. Bless God for resoluteness of character. Bless God for a woman that was prepared to go through. Some people never have the greatest blessings and realities from God simply because they dither about on a sort of a decision they make and never go right through with God. Never. You say, but you know, really to go right through with God and be faithful to the Lord, it's going to cost me everything. All right, just drop your eyes, lower down the chapter. At this same place, Paul and his companion were put in prison because they didn't want this gospel preached. You see? And they were beaten for doing nothing else but preaching the gospel. And they were thrown into prison, and they were put into the deepest cell in the prison, dark. Their feet were put in the stocks, and there they were left to wallow in their own darkness, in the darkness and the dirt and filth of this place, you see. And instead of grumbling and groaning, they started to sing at midnight. And there was a tremendous thing. They started to sing. Let's read the words, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. That's a tremendous thing. We'll read on, shall we? And when it was day, verse 35, I'd like to read it all, but time's slipping away, the magistrates said unto the sergeants, let these men go. And the keeper of the prisoner told this, saying to Paul, the magistrates are sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they've beaten us openly, uncondemned. See now, did you notice these three words open? The open heart, the open doors, and open persecution. They go together. You see, some people don't go through the blood because God had persecution. That's it.
they'll have persecution from friends, husbands. See that I'm talking to ladies. I might say wives if I'm talking to men. Husbands, neighbours, friends. The ordinary religious people that haven't really got anything, they'll get persecuted. So they never go through with God. They're more faithful to their husbands and their neighbours and their friends and their places of worship than they are to the Lord. That off is a tremendous stumbling block in a life. You know, you've got to be faithful to God. If He's opened your heart so that you know the truth and you've really been moved to respond to the truth, He's expecting that you won't give up because of a little or a lot of persecution. The man could have said, here, you prayed us here. Paul could have said, look at this, you've prayed us into prison and into persecution. That's what they could have said, but they didn't grumble, they sang hymns and did that. They didn't give up preaching the gospel because they didn't give up on faithfulness to the Lord. They were faithful. And you know, it's only if you're prepared to take open persecution and objection and sneering and mockery that prison doors will be opened. See? They sang hymns. Hallelujah. They praised God. And at midnight, God made the earth open its mouth. There was an earthquake. It's all openings here. And it shook the place. And everybody's prison cell door opened. And the stocks opened and Paul could get his feet out of them. God was moving. We pray about open doors. God will open your heart, all right. And He'll also open your doors too if you'll take open opposition and persecution and all the things that go with you truly being a born again child of God. Yes, He will. But He won't. Even though you may have decided to be a Christian, He won't do these further things unless you're going to be faithful to Him. He can't. Because it's all done by faith. It's all on the basis of faithfulness. Think of the faithfulness of Jesus dying on a cross for you. Think of the faithfulness of God putting your sin on Jesus Christ so that Jesus Christ should pay the penalty of it and you might go scot-free and be utterly forgiven. That's faithfulness. In a realm that you couldn't touch. You can't touch your sin. I can't touch my sin. Of the past, I couldn't do it. I can't even remember all the sins I committed, say, when I was about 14, 15, 16. Or younger than that. If I had to remember every one and make some kind of atonement for it, I'd go, man, I can't touch it. It's being done and there it is. And God dealt with it in Christ. This is the wonder of it. Here's faithfulness. God's faithful in a realm where you must know faithfulness. If God isn't faithful to deal with all the sin we've ever committed, nobody else could ever do anything for us. We're lost, totally lost. Nothing could happen. God's been faithful. Absolutely faithful. You see. This woman seemed to realize it. They turned, they sat down there at the riverside and they started to talk to these women. And I reckon old Paul said, you know, it's God's grace to you that we're here. Do you know, I wanted to go and preach there. I wanted to go and preach. And do you know, God said I wasn't to. He was listening to you and directing me. And I thought, all right, this was it. Oh, God. thank you. Thank you.
God's moved heaven and earth for you. God shed the blood of his Son shed for you. God's given you an opportunity. Absolutely faithful right down the line until this moment of time. Be faithful to you. He's expecting you to be faithful to him. This woman got up. She identified herself utterly with the message. Utterly. I'm his. What's all this talk about baptism? I'm going to get baptized. I'm not arguing about that anymore. In she went into the river, keeping sitting beside. Is it true that you might have been just about sitting beside it? Never really getting in. Watching, listening, observing. Now you've got to get right in. When you really commit utterly, that's when you'll prove the faithful Lord's faithfulness to you in a new realm. New wonders will open up to you. New living, new joys, new fulfillments. Oh, that's how it goes. That's how I have proved it. That's what it means to me. And that's what it will mean to you. And so I want to encourage you. And say to you, go on. Go on, make your real response. Stop quibbling about things. Stop arguing. Stop one foot in and one foot out business. Stop trying to wanting to please God and yet trying to please everybody else. You just simply can't do that. Old Paul himself came to a place where he said, do I please God or men? You can read it in Galatians chapter 1. He said, if I yet please men, I wouldn't be the servant of the law. That's what he says in Galatians 1, the letter he wrote then. If I tried to please men, I wouldn't be God's servant. That's what he said. It's to know the first claims on your life. It's to know who has first right, so far as you're concerned. This, that man, that woman, this society, that fix-up, or is it God? Bless God for Lydia. She was true. She was real. She'd been through much. But her heart never stopped seeking until she found. And when she found, she never hesitated. Right through. God. So I believe this is the way with the Lord. And then you see when you're there, you'll find that God will open prison doors in which you've been held captive. You'll find that you'll be there, all right. God will open things up to you. And prayer, he's answered for you in a sort of a general way. He'll now become specific. You'll move in an understanding and a growing knowledge of God. The further delights and blessings will become yours. Oh, this is growth in God's grace. This is the going on unto what he really wants for everyone. So, it's time I've closed. I want to say to you, is your heart open?
really open? Will you let the Lord really open? And the Lord, not just a little bit. Oh, I left this little bit about getting forgiven. But will you let him really open? Pouring everything. I want you, you, you. That's the beginning of the newness of life. That's where everything that's vague becomes definite. Everything that's dim becomes clear. Everything that's unreality becomes reality. Ignorance becomes knowledge. To move right on in what deep down in your heart has begun as, I wish I knew God, I wish I did. Well, you can. Let him open your heart now. Let it be real. Leave all the halfway business. And let God show you utterly all his love and grace, forgiveness and fullness in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we?